Last week I was in Phoenix, Arizona doing the wedding of my nephew. It was 102 degrees out there, a lot cooler here in Louisiana. And he went to UL, and that's where he met his wife. They were both in the student union cafeteria, and he spied her from afar and fell in love with her right away and saw her walking across the cafeteria with a plate of sweet potato fries. She's a vegetarian. And it was her first time in the cafeteria. She promptly tripped on somebody's book sack, and the fries went all over the floor. She was totally embarrassed, of course. And he ran over to her. He saw his opening right there, picked up the fries, brought her to his table, introduced her to his friend, and got her another plate of sweet potato fries, and the rest is history. So, and I'll speak a little bit more about marriage and the Trinity. But I want to start with another story and a reality from Pope Benedict. Yes, Pope Benedict's coat of arms has a scallop shell on it. It's one of the symbols of one of the Bavarian Benedictine monasteries that he was very close to. And the shell is a symbol of the pilgrim and also of baptism, because we use a little shell-looking symbol to a vessel to pour the water over people's heads for their baptism. And the shell also appeared in one of the stories of Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine, one of the great early church fathers, was walking along the seashore and meditating on the Holy Trinity and trying to understand this mystery. And he spied a young boy who had dug a hole in the beach sand and was going to the sea with a seashell and picking up some water and pouring it into the hole. And St. Augustine asked the little boy, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm trying to pour that sea into the hole." And St. Augustine laughed and said, "Well, that hole is too small. It can't hold that whole sea. It's impossible." And the little boy responded to him, "And so it is impossible for you to fully understand the Holy Trinity." And with that, the boy just disappeared. And St. Augustine realized that this was an angel that had sent this message to him. So indeed, it is impossible to understand the Holy Trinity fully. You'd have to be God himself to do it, right? But we can say something about the Holy Trinity. Some things that have been revealed to us that are objectively true, because God is truth and he cannot reveal anything that is false. Last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost and the sending of the Holy Spirit. So the church always on this Sunday looks at the Holy Trinity as a whole, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this image of pouring that I had you listen for in the readings gives us a clue to the mystery of the Trinity and how we can imitate that mystery. Proverbs 8, we heard wisdom speaking, so the wisdom can be either the Son or the Holy Spirit. It says, "I was poured forth before the beginning of creation and along the sea, when God created the sea, I was there." And in Romans chapter 5, it says, "The love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us in our baptism," right? We are like vessels that are filled with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the Gospel too, the language that Jesus used reveals the Trinity. As he said, "Everything that the Father has is mine, and everything that I have, I give to the Holy Spirit." And so this whole sense of each person sharing totally with each other and being in total communion with each other. Sometimes I'll use the image of a cascading waterfall, right, from one area to the next and into the next. That's just how the Father pours himself out into the Son, and the Son pours himself out with the Father into the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit back to the Father and the Son, right? So this whole mystery of intercommunion and self-emptying into the other. The Bible says God is love, right? And love assumes you have a lover and a beloved and the love that they share. And so you have The lover is God the Father. The beloved is God the Son. And the Holy Spirit is the love that they share with one another. And out of that love, they pour themselves out into creation, because love wants to share. Love wants to give. And God delights, as it said, in the human race, poured out into our hearts. And we too must pour ourselves out in service and in love to our neighbor, right? And in doing that, we are like God. Through our self-emptying, through our giving, then we are like the Holy Trinity. It's when we focus in on ourselves and become selfish that we are not like God. And we mysteriously lose ourselves when we try to focus inward. But it's when we're focused outward in giving where we truly find our true nature, like God who is giving totally. So when we stop giving, we stop living spiritually. So spiritually, we're dying at that point. We have to always be this outward focus. And this is very beautifully seen in holy matrimony, where husband and wife are pouring their love out into each other. And sometimes that even produces another love that we have to give a name to, a child and children, right? It's a beautiful symbol of the Holy Trinity. Even though we are divided persons, united in love, but we are individual persons, separated, but God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not separated. They're totally united, and yet they're still distinct, which is the great mystery. One day we shall learn a lot more in heavenly glory. So the priest is also called to stand in for Jesus, the groom, to his bride, the church. That's why the priests are male. Not because we're better. No, we're probably worse than all you wonderful ladies, right? But there's a marriage symbolism that's going on here in the Sacrament of Holy Orders. The priest stands in for Jesus, who is loving his bride, the church, and pouring himself out for her, for you, his bride, right? Just as at the Last Supper, he poured himself out, right? The wedding at Cana, water into wine, at the Last Supper, wine into his blood. And then from the cross, they pierced his side after he had died, all the way to his Sacred Heart. The water and blood flowed out, the sacramental life of the church, water for baptism, body and blood of Christ, the Eucharist. Where did Eve come from? The side of Adam. The church comes from the side of Christ, right? It's a mystical marriage. And that is portrayed at every Mass, his very death and resurrection. The mystics call the cross the marriage bed of Christ, where he pours out his love for his bride, the church, totally, unconditionally, fully, absolutely, fruitfully. Does Jesus give us his love? Husband and wife are one body, one flesh. We are one body, one flesh with Jesus, our divine groom, in the Holy Eucharist, right? And you'll hear, take, this is my body. Take it and eat it. So in this communion of food, Jesus uses that symbolism and reality. And then with the chalice, you'll hear pouring out as well of his love and his grace. I was ordained a priest on Holy Trinity Sunday 1990 by Pope St. John Paul II. The chalice that I'm using today, he used for the very first time when it was consecrated, February 14th of that year. And this vestment was given to me by my family last year for my 25th anniversary. And yesterday it was a little bit warmer in church, so I was saying it's kind of warmer for the priest. It's a line vestment, and that's why the priests are always putting the air conditioner temperature down, and everybody's freezing in the church, and the priest is hot. I said, it's just like a marriage, right? One's hot, one's cold. You know, it's such a reality. But as I was reading yesterday, and this image of pouring came forth again, from a magazine or about the North American College where I went to the seminary, the present rector, Father Peter Harmon, he said, in the Eucharist, Jesus is giving himself literally, pouring himself out for us. And the priest stands in his person in this great moment in the sacramental life of the church. In his sacramental life and his whole ministerial life, the priest should be willing to pour himself out in love for his people. in love for God, in obedience to his bishop, and to do it all joyfully. So I hope that I've been able to do that to some degree for the last 26 years now. It's been a great blessing to me to be called to be a priest, and thank God for that. Encourage our young men to consider this beautiful calling, gift from Almighty God. But no matter what our vocation is, married life, priesthood, religious life, single in the world, we're all called to self-emptying, of giving of ourselves totally like God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to conclude with this 17th century, 18th century poem, O Fons Amoris, O Fount of Love. O Holy Spirit, Lord of grace, eternal source of love, inflame, we pray, our inmost hearts with fire from heaven above. And thou dost join with holiest bonds the Father and the Son. So fill thy saints with mutual love and link their hearts in one. Link their hearts in one. May our hearts today be united with the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary as we worship in the wedding feast of the Lamb. Amen.